Welcome to Pushing Buttons.
Ah.
Welcome to Pushing Buttons. No. You do it.
Welcome to Pushing Buttons.
Hey, and welcome back to the podcast, everyone. My name is Mike. I'm joined once again by Gerald. It's a Tuesday afternoon, at least as of this recording. We have beers, we have mics, it's Pushing Buttons time.
My favorite time of the evening.
our favorite day of the week. I guess maybe upload day is our second favorite day of the week.
I never know when that is, Mike.
It's always the weekend.
Well, moving right along, we've got a little bit of ground to cover, as usual. The video game world is alive with all sorts of perils and traps.
It's never a good weekend. It's never a bad weekend gaming, because you know it's something strange is going to happen somewhere, even if it's from the lowliest news all the way up to the big stuff. Something weird is always happening if you dig deep enough. And this week is no different. So let's get this out of the way, just to kind of bridge the gap from now 2 weeks ago. Let's talk Atari.
Oh yes, let's talk Atari.
Let's start this show how we sort of kind of ended the last one. Well, had the topic in the middle of last week's show. Anyway, I'm not very good with transitions. The documentary for that dig to find the ET cartridges was successful. They did find at the very least one, because a picture of one cartridge is all I can ever seem to find.
There's also tons of photos of shredded boxes of ET online and other things that they found. They found more than just ET. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I saw a copy of Centipede. I saw something. I think I saw a copy of Defender. It's not like this was the famous site of where they ditched all of the cartridges of ET. This is like the site where they just dropped everything. It's not like this was solely for ET. No, they just took everything they had, their entire stock, and said, screw it.
Yep, they basically took whatever they had left and buried it out there. I mean, after the game crashed, nobody was buying Atari stuff. All of it was discounted.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually surprised. I mean, they found things that were still shrink-wrapped. They found, like, cartridges that still look like they're in working condition. Actually, they look in better condition than some of the ones I've seen on, like, eBay and places.
Yeah,
but it's,
right.
Like, the box, the cartridge, the instructional manual. I think that alone is pretty rare, the instruction manual. Those are kind of a rare thing nowadays.
There's also a win guide that came with every ET outlining how you're supposed to beat the game, because they didn't figure anyone would do it. I still have that somewhere.
I think it's kind of cool. I mean, I did see a couple like videos of this thing, of them announcing they found it, everyone clapping, going crazy, because this was open once again to the public.
I find that so funny. People are going apeshit over this. I mean, Atari told them for years where to look. Just nobody really cared about ever doing that for whatever reason.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, there's not too many people who are like, hey, let's go to a landfill. I can't wait to find the worst game ever. You know, I hope it's there.
Yeah. So I'm not sure when this documentary is actually supposed to come out.
Yeah, and, I don't know.
You know, I'm actually kind of surprised. I mean, they only had this thing for had the rights to do this for one day. And since these things have been, like, buried for, like, what, 20 years? No, more than that. Almost 30 years. I'm surprised it took them that's such a short time to find them, considering it's at a landfill.
Yeah, I wish I was at that dig. I would have dropped copies of Brink back in it just to fill it up.
You should have taken some shrink-wrap copies of Brink and thrown it in there so they could, while they weren't looking, say, see, they found those,
yeah, and
too.
Sonic 06, just start chucking them in there.
Like, this landfill was covered 20 years ago. How the hell is this game here? And why are there 30 copies of it?
Yeah, pitch in a couple of copies of Highline, you know, just to round the top of it out.
Oh, come on. Highline gets unfair bashing.
Original Highline sucks. Do you own it?
No.
You don't know the pain and suffering I've had
No.
my
You
entire
asked no no
life.
no. You asked me if I owned it. No. Did I play it? Yeah. Highline wasn't so bad. It came out at a bad time. If it came out like 2 or 3 years earlier, it would have been like an innovative game for like the time it came out. But no, it came out at the wrong time.
Well, it came out earlier than Zelda in Japan, but
Oh
when it came
yeah,
to
no, I know.
US, it came out later and it
Yeah, so
just
by this
didn't quite
point we
make any
were
sense.
yeah, by this point we were already moved past that.
Yeah, we were already used to Zelda and its play style, and Hylai would just felt
Exactly.
too archaic.
I think if it came out here around the time it should have, like when it was first released, it probably would have done much better. It had a lot of unique features for its time. God, I hate that saying. I hate when I see people talking about games and using that for its time. Like, yeah, no. Some of this stuff when you say it looks great for its time still look freaking amazing.
Well, Highlighter reminds me of like the early computer games we had when I look back at it, you know, before the whole Nintendo explosion.
Right, exactly. They are very much like the older style of play, where, well, actually, much like those Nintendo days, where everything was just flat out brutal and just out to kill you. It was kind of a pain in the ass. It was a bit slow and sluggish,
It
but
was terrible. It was plagued by slowdown, terrible mechanics, not being able to basically attack your enemies.
I mean, at the time, it was put out initially over in Japan. There wasn't quite much like it.
I mean, it spawned several sequels that many people may not know about. I mean, it wasn't like a complete failure, or at least, you know,
I didn't even
we're
know it had
making them
sequels.
think so. Really? You didn't know they had Super Highlight on the Genesis.
Oh, I didn't. Really?
And then they had Virtual Highlight on the Sega Saturn.
Virtual Highlight? I have a Saturn. I gotta find this.
And there were other games too in Japan only that were made. I can't remember the titles off the top of my head, but you know, we only got three of the Highlight games over here, but there were many more.
You know, I'm actually looking, just out of while you're talking about this, I brought up the Highline Wikipedia page. I love the characters. You play as Jim in this fantasy world.
Jim the Knight.
A fantasy
That's
hero
his
named
name, Jim
Jim.
the Knight. It's
The
probably the only American
princess.
name they knew.
No, the princess is named Anne. The princess of
Yeah.
your fantasy world is Anne, and the villain is Borealis.
I thought it was Veralis. Isn't it Veralis?
Yeah, isn't that what I said?
You said Borealis, like as like barium. It's
Oh,
like.
Borealis. Oh, let's see here.
But yeah, Virtual Highlight you'll especially hate because it was part of the FMV craze in the 90s. So you had these horrible full motion video scenes.
Oh, you're gonna hate me for this. One of the other things it says in this Wikipedia page is Highlight is one of the first Japanese RPGs. The game appears to have been heavily influenced by Dragon Slayer, the original Ultima, and Tower of Druaga. I know the Tower of Druaga very well.
I know Dragon Slayer.
Well, there was a dungeon in Baten Kaitos that was inspired by Tower of Druaga.
Fuck me,
It was.
Baden
It was a it was a
Kaitos.
one of the dungeons in that game was straight out of Tower of Druaga. So much so that I was curious why this dungeon was so different than anything else that I decided to find out why it was so different. Like there had to be a reason. And there
Not 20
was
minutes in. Not
and
20
there
minutes in, you have
was
a Kaitos-gasm.
Anytime I get to bring up that series, it's a good day for me. Oh, come on. You cannot say anything. You know, you have your game that you play every year. You play Faxanadu once a year, every year.
Yeah. Axanji was good.
Yeah, I have three of those games. I have Skies of Arcadia, Baten Kaitos 1, and Baten Kaitos 2. I play those three games every year. which is really kind of hard because both three of those games are like 70-hour games, but
Yeah, they take a long time.
particularly the first Button Kaitos with its hour and a half long boss battle towards the second half of the game.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's a 45-minute long battle, and as soon as you finish it, it took me about, I think it was like 35 to 45 minutes, and then there's a 5-minute cutscene, and then you start another 40 to 45-minute long battle. apologize. It was pretty brutal, with no saving in between.
Oh, that's always the worst. We had to go back a few boss
It
battles
wouldn't have been
to
so
get
bad
to it.
if I was expecting that, because like you'd have like some of the old RPG days of like on the Super Nintendo, where you'd have like an hour and a half to 2 hour long RPG boss battle, but you knew it was going to be that long. I mean, this I fought a 45-minute long fight just to watch a cutscene, not expecting I was going to be thrown right back into a battle. It was brutal.
Reminds me of something Metal Gear would do, actually.
They probably would.
They've done it many times. I remember the first Metal Gear with all the different times you had to stop him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if they did that in the current Metal Gears, you'd have a 45-minute long battle, an 8-hour cutscene, and then another 45-minute long battle.
Or it could be like Ground Zeroes where it's just one battle. That's
Oh,
it. Game's over.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
That really was the Phantom Pain.
in the Baten Kaitos 1, I mean, there were the actual items that were in the actual items that were inside the game that were the exact same as they were. The same enemies were in this dungeon. It was straight, literally ripped out of Tower of Daraga and put in there.
Yikes.
Well, I mean, there were a lot of games that Daraga inspired in some way.
Same thing with the Dragon Slayer series. It's pretty legendary at this point.
Yeah, there was a lot of those old RPGs kind of inspired these other games. I'm actually going to put a link to the Daraga series in the show notes, at least the Wikipedia page, just because there is just so much history to this game.
Yeah, a likely story. You're right now on eBay getting virtual highlight, aren't
No, I'm just not.
you?
Not yet, anyway.
You're gonna love the digitized actor
I'm sure I will.
that you play as, and the fact that enemies give you absolutely no experience.
Oh, awesome. Anyway.
Might get a copy too.
Why would that not surprise me? What are we talking about? Oh,
Oh, we were
yeah,
gonna talk
E.T.
about
E.T.
E.T.,
That's
yes,
right.
and
We are. That's right. I forgot we talked
we
about
are
it.
off the rails yet again.
Yeah, we were just a little bit. That happens a lot.
I mean, it's no surprise that they found them, and I guess that's really great publicity for Microsoft saying that they're going to do a documentary based on finding games that nobody wants to find in a place no one would ever go to find them.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Good for them.
Yeah, they're doing their part for the community.
Exactly. They're finding stuff that we didn't want
Exactly. I
to
mean, nobody in their right mind would go that far for finding out copies of E.T.
Well, apparently some people would. It's going to make for a fun documentary. I know I'm going to watch it when it's available.
I can't really say the same. I mean, speaking of legendary RPGs, Dragon Quest is coming back.
Yeah, the creator of Dragon Quest said the new one is in development. Other than that, really though, he did not give much detail. Supposedly, from what I read, what I was reading, that even the team did not know he was going to say that they were doing that. So that's probably why that he didn't have much in the way of details for it.
Yeah, he hasn't even mentioned if it's going to be a numbered entry in the series or it's going to be another spin-off title.
Yeah, like the Dragon Quest monsters, stuff like that. Yeah, he didn't really say anything at all about it.
But it will deal with that world and the characters, that we love so much, so it'll be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, the last one to come out was Dragon Quest X on the first on the Wii U and then on the sorry, on the Wii and then on the Wii U.
We.
Then the last one before that was obviously 9 that was on the DS.
Well, that reminds me. Have you played NES Remix 2 yet? I know that's
No,
out.
I have the first one, but I didn't get the second one yet.
I heard that was better than the first one, and it dealt with
Yeah, so
more
did I.
games and stuff. Well, anyway.
I am gonna be picking that up. I know that it does have better games on it. Like I believe it has Metroid, Zelda 2.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I will definitely be getting it. Because I mean, I do actually like the first one.
Yeah, they say the second one has a lot more challenges, a lot more rewards, and deals with games that most everyone has played.
Yeah. This one was a little more obscure. I mean, not that everyone hasn't played Joust, but I mean, that's on there. I believe it's Joust. Balloon Fighter's on there. It does have Excitebike, which is kind of fun to play again. That's been a long time. It has the original Zelda. I mean, I had a great time with it, but it does have fun games on there that just more people don't know about.
Yeah, I think this is a good series, considering they're not just, rehashing exactly. They're kind of doing a WarioWare take.
Yeah, it's like bite-sized versions of those levels, but and then you have like the remix levels of like Link in Donkey Kong Jr.,
Yeah.
which is one of the more, I think, slightly more known ones. Like, you have to get up to Donkey Kong, but you can't jump because you're Link. Yeah, it's quite a different game when you get into the remixes. Let me see. I'm actually pulling the game up right now. So yeah, it has Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Mario Brothers, the original like competitive one,
Right.
Excitebike, Balloon Fight, Wrecking Crew, Super Mario Brothers, and Legend of Zelda. So far, I've completed most of Legend of Zelda and the Super Mario Brothers, working on all the others. But it's a really fun series. But I mean, it's I think I mean I talked about this before on one of the last shows we did a while ago that if it's something that you haven't played, like if you're not used to these games, it's not fun.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's giving you the most mundane tasks. That's why.
True, but it gives you a new spin on it with the crossovers. It reminds me of that Mario crossover web browser game I used to play.
Oh yeah, we talked actually a couple weeks ago briefly about that because that was part of the that guy's Kickstarter that is not going through anymore.
It's a damn shame.
I know. Yeah, it really sucks. But I suppose they're still eventually going to work on it when they get a little more experience. But I mean, God knows how long that's going to be.
I love it when I first discovered that game, and it's like you can play the original Mario with like Ryu from Ninja Gaiden and just destroy things with your
I loved
shurikens.
playing Simon Belmont, just whipping Bowser.
Yeah.
Using Metroid to just
Or
shoot
Metro,
him.
yeah.
Wasn't there, I think there was Contra too.
Yeah, Contra was definitely in it.
Was there anyone else? Was there Link?
Oh yeah, definitely. Link was in it.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. I was pretty sure he was.
He was in a Zelda 2 version.
That's right, that's right. It was more appropriate. Oh man. I mean, going back here over to the Dragon Quest. I mean, hopefully this one does come out here, whichever way, if it's going to be at least a numbered series, because obviously 10 was not, but 10 was also an online multi and a subscription based MMO. So I mean, who knows what could be coming? Who maybe nothing.
Yeah, Dragon Quest has had a long road.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of curious if it's going to come out for a Nintendo system, as the last two ones did. They seem to like kind of put the Dragon Quest series as a Nintendo RPG series.
I don't know if they'll continue their partnership. I mean, maybe they stick with Nintendo. Well, not the entire way, actually. Now that I think about it, there were a few on PlayStation ported.
No, I know, but the last two like numbered games were in Nintendo exclusives.
Right.
Plus, you also had Dragon Quest Monsters that was on the DS as well. Then there was also the fact of a bunch of the original Dragon Quest 1 through 4 and maybe 5 all came out on the DS too. I mean, maybe Nintendo worked out some deal.
Well, Nintendo did a lot for that series in the beginning by packing it with Nintendo Power
Yeah,
subscriptions,
that's true.
getting people involved in what Dragon Quest was, and sticking with it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm also sorry. I just brought this up on the computer here. The Dragon Quest X was also out on PC and Android, of all things.
Of course.
So it wasn't Nintendo exclusive. It was as far as consoles went, though.
Yeah, but PC, still, with an MMO, you gotta have a PC port, regardless.
I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see what this next game is going to be. It's probably still going to be a few years away, though.
More Dragon Quest is a good thing, seriously. Especially in the midst of all these.
There it is. There's RoboCop. He's still pissed off about that
Put the
battery
gun
being
down,
searched for
Mike.
me.
Put the gun down.
Oh my God, he's still pissed off after that off that battery view.
Okay, he's gone. We can talk about RoboCop again.
It also doesn't help that my window's open.
You're such a douche.
I wish I realized that before the show started.
Right, well, I'm just glad that another Dragon Quest is coming, considering how many Western RPGs are out there right now, like dominating the market. I always like to see the Japanese RPGs come out once in a while.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you more so now see that on the handhelds more than anything, but
Yeah.
not so much on the consoles anymore.
Oh, I've got an update on Deception 4, Blood Ties.
Oh yeah, what's that?
I still hate it. Let's move on.
Am I not surprised?
It's still, the more I play it, I just get angry because it's like, really, that's all there is. You could have done so much more with a reboot of this.
Why am I not surprised that you hate it?
You know, that's one series that I think deserves a reboot. Like a real, just fresh start.
I don't know if it's gonna get one.
I doubt it.
Yeah, me too.
During the sales of this one are probably going to be non-existent.
Oh, this is one of the ones they probably just put out just to get out, just to get away from out of their library.
They're gonna look at their bottom line and be like, "Oh, we sold one for $60. Damn."
No one bought
Yeah, just one guy bought it in the
it.
U.S. and he runs a podcast. Yay!
Where he's been
Slamming
doing
said
nothing but
game that we
bashing.
made. Slamming.
Why would that not surprise me?
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Well, anyways, I'm still loving Thief though.
That's
I've been
good.
playing a lot more Thief, and Thief is pretty awesome.
It really is. I only have two missions left myself, like the last two main missions.
I mean, I like it, and a lot of people complain about the dumb AI, but I look at it as, I can stealth a little more easier, so I'm not constantly annoyed.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
It's definitely not so bad.
And the fact that you can't kill them is really awesome, because I usually don't get put into games like that too often, so it
Yeah, a
feels.
lot of times you have a lot harder time if you kill them rather than just knock them out.
Oh yeah, it's horrible because it's almost like a quick time event when you have to battle one of these fuckers, and if you have like two or three of them, you can't possibly dodge everything coming at you.
Yeah, I mean you can get an ability later in the game that allows you to knock them out in one hit, but you have to like time it perfectly and get them in the right position. So
Yeah.
it's definitely not easy.
It's definitely a way more enjoyable game if you stealth as often as possible.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, I mean, I don't necessarily not knock out guards. I do occasionally, but what I like to do is I like to make sure none of them have ever seen me. That's like my goal every mission is to make sure no one has ever been never been spotted, ever, And so far I've been doing pretty good with that.
I actually have a lot harder time, instead of getting caught by the people, getting seen by the dogs.
That could be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, because the birds, at least you can like sneak by if you're going quickly. So for what you don't, anyone who might not know, there are birds and dogs. If you go, you're supposed to be able to just kind of go by them quietly, and they'll leave you alone. The birds do, the dogs do not. You get close to them, they start freaking out no matter what you do. You do have a an arrow that you can fire at them that has like a knockout gas. That will put them down, but it's not always helpful. Especially if you don't if you like miss them when you're firing.
I imagine that'd be a problem.
Yeah, it's very easy to do. I'm glad you're liking it so far.
Yeah, it's not as bad as everyone says, but I think at full price, no one's gonna bother with it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Well, it's exciting. It's not very often you and I get to agree on something.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. You're more of a Thief fan than I am. I'm kind of just, I've always known about the games, of course, but never really spent a lot of time with them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've always been a fan. I hope the series is here to stay for a while longer.
Well, they definitely have some changes to make. I think they need to get their hardcore audience back, and which means the next game will probably be drastically different than this one.
Yeah, it's gonna be full of microtransactions to skip missions. Oops, sorry. I apologize for that noise. I dropped my microphone.
Amateur.
Yes, I am. Well, I was trying to hold it like I was like really talking into it, but nope, it didn't work. Dropped it. Whatever.
Oh, you didn't drop the beer, right?
Oh no, of course not. I would never
Okay,
do that.
good.
That would be a very bad thing.
Microphone, not so much.
I can always buy a new one.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man. So yeah, let's move on to some other news here. We have a
Let's talk about the acquisition of From Software.
yep, yeah, let's talk about that. They were bought out by a company called Kadokawa or
Just
Kado.
rolled off the tongue.
It does, doesn't it?
It's like Kadokawa.
They are a company known as a publisher of some movies, a whole crap load of manga, including like popular series like the Cowboy Bebop series, that Neon Genesis Evangelion,
Evangelion,
cut one of the Dot Hack series.
my favorite game.
I know. They have done some game publishing, like Suda 50, like a couple Suda 51 games, like
Yeah.
Killer's Dead and Lollipop Chainsaw. Now this,
Lollipop.
now I mean, they were only publishing them over in Japan, not over in the U.S. So I mean, that's why people over here may not have ever heard of them. They're definitely not a big publisher here. But so I mean, they have done quite a bit, including like developing some of their own games, which I actually don't know off the top of my head. So yeah, they are buying them.
Yeah, it's surprising that anyone really wants to buy From Software.
Yeah.
I'm
From
still not
Software
convinced
is
they've made their.
obviously, as we've talked about before, the producers and not the producers, the developers behind such great games as King Fields and Eternal Ring, where all fantasies don't have to be final.
God. I wasn't even gonna say that.
They've also done in Dark Souls.
Yeah, that little game called Dark Souls that everyone seems to love all of a sudden.
Well, it's because I don't know why.
Because arbitrary difficulty and permanent death just ring so well together.
Yeah. Actually, no, I actually forgot about this. From Software actually developed two of my favorite GameCube games, the Lost Kingdoms 1 and 2. I forgot about
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, From Software has had a very, weird history over the years. And I don't know, coming from Demon's Souls, which I liked a lot better than Dark Souls, I still think they have potential. It's just that the game just seems so half-assed and so like disgusting even to look at, considering, it's 2014
Yeah.
and it looks like something from 2006.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just a tad behind Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13
In terms of looks.
in terms of looks. Yeah, it's right around there.
Yeah, you can tell they were part of the they were developed with the same graphics engine, right?
Yeah, close to the
I'm
character
guessing
model looks great, the world sucks.
Square Enix got it from them.
Yeah, maybe there's a heavily modified Dark Souls engine running the whole thing.
I'm sure that's exactly what it is.
That explains all the mine levels.
No, it does, I think. That actually explains quite a bit. Does not explain why the Final Fantasy games are just a part of 13 series as one long corridor, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. And Final Fantasy 13 doesn't have the gender coffin like Dark Souls 2 has.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, there's this coffin sitting on the edge of this giant ocean, And if you get in it, the game says nothing, but your gender swaps. I think there
Oh,
was a
that's
patch that
amazing.
came out that they actually have a text that pops up when you go in the coffin now to kind of like warn you, hey, you're about to lose your dick. But, yeah.
It's just supposed to go in there and get surprised on the way out.
When I bought it in the first week, I'm like, what does this damn coffin do? And I realized I looked different. Because it just, you just got in it, time passed, and you didn't think anything happened.
Yeah.
Well,
Oh
anyway,
God.
moving right along.
Oh man.
Let's see, we've covered it all, right? Dragon Quest, gender swapping, Hydlide. Moving right along.
At least one reference to Bot and
Gym of the
Kairos and
Night.
Dot Hack.
Yeah. I've reached my
Oh
quota.
man. At least the we got our weekly ET comment in. Our weekly comment, because we've only mentioned it twice before.
Which will never be mentioned again after today.
Yeah, probably not. Everyone can forget about it again. We will probably talk about it again when the documentary comes out. Since this was filmed over the course of just like 5 hours, it'll probably be on Xbox tomorrow.
Yeah, more than likely. Major Nelson's uploading it now.
Yeah, exactly.
He's at home. Just waiting for the file to go in.
The entire documentary is on his Vine account. It's only 15 seconds long.
Yeah, it's a series of little Vine videos.
Here's our documentary. It's a 5 second GIF. We spent $2 million funding it.
You imagine how much money was spent getting people out there and doing the dig and hiring people,
Oh,
equipment,
I
all that
know. That's
stuff?
incredible.
And
I
just
can't
to
believe how
find a
much you
game that
spent.
sucks.
I I don't know why they had to find it, but apparently they did.
Well, because video game pop culture right now is the most popular thing in the world.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mean, that's just unfortunately the way it is.
Oh, well, speaking of in pop culture, in videos now, being more mainstream than ever, there's going to be a Call of Duty tournament as part of the X Games. You
Oh
know,
yeah, I saw
the X
that.
Games, it's all about like skateboarding, BMX biking, insane crap like that. They're going to have a Call of Duty tournament because that just screams hardcore sports.
Next thing you know, you're gonna have like friggin' gamers doing Mountain Dew commercials. Instead of athletes, it'll be just gamers drinking
Yeah, it's
Gatorade
going to
playing.
have his gamer tag right below it, along with his Twitter account. Yes, the Major League Gaming is going to be going to the X Games. I am not kidding.
Yeah, yet again, making our pastime into a joke. I mean, I support it totally.
I mean, so Major League Gaming, they host like professional game tournaments all across the world. Obviously mostly known around here, but I mean they do a whole lot of other games besides just Call of Duty. They mostly do like multiplayer games like StarCraft, sports games. Apparently this has been like a year in the making to get the Major League Gaming over there. It's gonna be over the course of probably the couple days that the X Games usually lasts. Apparently if this is successful and enough people go there, which for some reason I always associate the X Games with a whole bunch of stoners, they'll probably take the chance to just sit down and look at pretty colors. So it probably will be successful. I mean, no offense to these people, some of them are amazing athletes, but I just picture X Games and weed going together.
Well, of course, because think of all the people on Call of Duty that enter our games that have weed names.
Yeah, we usually spend the first few minutes of each match just looking at people's names, trying to find a weed or 420 reference.
Yeah, there's so many, and they think they're so clever, like Lord Bluntington. Oh, you're really good.
with his profile motto saying, "I took control in the year 420."
Yeah. Yeah, I
Really?
took the red pill. Yeah, whatever.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah, we'll do that. I think they should have a segment on X Games where Tony Hawk has to play R Tony Hawk Ride and you have to try to beat his score. If he can even get it to work.
Well, since he's the only person that actually likes that game, he's probably pretty good at it. Since he's, I
Yeah.
think, the only person who actually plays.
Oh, he was really good pantomiming to that video recording.
I know. I this is probably the worst way to word it. For those of you who haven't heard of the X Games, which is no one, obviously they're the extreme sports games alternative for the Olympics. Like I said, the BMX biking, skateboarding, things like that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it doesn't really fit video game competition very well.
Well,
I
I
mean, it
think.
does because, I mean, I'm sure that a lot of these people are gamers because, I mean, that's the kind of the demographic that the X Games is going after, the young hip gamer sports extreme people. So, I mean,
Well, yeah, well, it has
it
to
does fit the
evolve.
demographic, but as far as like the X Games themselves, it doesn't really seem to fit them. I mean, maybe it's just me.
It is just you.
Yeah. Then again, I don't watch the X Games or Major League
Neither
Gaming when
do
it's on.
I.
I don't watch Major League Gaming when it's on TV because I don't like watching people play games that I don't like.
Yeah, I'd rather be playing the games. It's the same reason why, it's like I don't play sports games on my consoles. It's like, nope.
Yeah, the only sports games I ever play is the occasional Madden if I'm over a friend's house. Other than that, the only one I'll actually buy is a hockey game.
Yeah, me too. And skateboarding games occasionally because, a skateboarding game is cheaper than knee surgery when I fuck up.
Because you're the only other person who used to buy a Tony Hawk game.
Until he started adding the peripheral, yes, I bought them every time.
I can picture the next game coming out. They started adding microtransactions, $1 for every different trick.
The funny thing is, the system they came up with for the Tony Hawk games was so good and so many possibilities to combo moves and stuff. It was
Well, that's why
endless.
the original Pro Skater series 1 through 4 did so well because they just nailed skateboarding so well.
And then they tried to add a story mode to it, which didn't quite make sense. How you're like this nobody who goes into games and contests and eventually
Yeah.
becomes awesome. It's like, okay, that's just lame.
It's there. You can ignore it, but now it's you can't. And they started just adding more and more stuff that to try to appeal to more people when everyone already knew about it, and it, but they were doing adding things that were taking away from the core game.
I mean, the funny thing is, Neversoft, who originally developed Tony Hawk Pro Skater for PS1, that was the Apocalypse engine that the game was built on, oddly enough. If you remember Apocalypse from PS1,
Yep, that was
it's
the
the same engine.
yeah, I do remember that. That was the Bruce Willis game.
Yeah, eventually they got Tony involved, like halfway through making the skateboarding demo,
Well, I
where you
remember
played as Bruce Willis skateboarding.
yeah, they showed the demo off to Tony Hawk with Bruce Willis's character still in there.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. Obviously they eventually took him out for the full game, but
Well, yeah, because he's not a skater, so they added, when they got Tony Hawk on board and he liked it, and they attached his name to it, it got to be a bigger project.
Trying to picture Bruce Willis on a skateboard.
Back then, it'd be very hard to tell if it looked like Bruce Willis, considering the graphics of the PS1 aren't so great.
Yeah, that's also very true.
But
Yeah, they just.
I actually love the Apocalypse game that came before it
I
a
actually never
lot.
played it.
It's a platformer, basically. It's kind of like Robotron. You can shoot in all directions, which and has a decent story to it. But it didn't take off and it wasn't considered, Neversoft's hit. Tony Hawk was that, and then of course Guitar Hero that followed. And but yeah, I always remember Apocalypse.
Well, speaking of, since moving on from Atari and then X Games, which is, I guess, kind of slightly transitioned into Xbox.
No.
Well, Atari thing was funded by Microsoft. X Games has an X in there, so yes, it's a smooth transition.
That's beautiful. Just keep going.
I was reading on Kotaku earlier today about. Why am I plugging someone else's site? Well, whatever. about the different TV series that is going to be coming to the Xbox TV. Including like a Halo TV series.
Yikes.
I honestly did not read through. I'll put a link in the description to where to the information on their site. But something called the Every Street United, an unscripted TV show.
Sounds lame.
And yeah, they're trying to get more like original programming on there, I guess. I don't quite know like. Why I really think just kind of like, you know, appeal to a bigger audience again. But, so yeah, I mean, they're getting into the TV business. I think it's like from like the Xbox Entertainment Studios, the same people who are funding the dig.
You know, normally I'd add something, but wow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much on it myself. I mean, I have the full story in front of me that I'm going to put in the notes. But I mean, I have no feeling on it myself. I think it'll be there. I don't know how many people are actually going to be watching because, I mean...
None. I think you have a better TV series where we actually filmed what half the sirens in the background of your podcast are about.
I told you before, it's because I live next to, almost right next door to the main ambulance hub of my area. So if someone needs help, then they come from my next door neighbor.
You ever get anyone like bleeding on your doorstep or anything cool?
No, that I haven't, unfortunately.
Fuck.
I mean, not bleeding. I mean, I've had poison victims. I've had... gunshot victims, but I mean it was just like straight through, so they weren't bleeding.
Okay, what are we talking about again? Video games, podcast.
What?
I don't know.
Oh, whatever. Oh, I know what we were talking about. We're talking about us and our new YouTube show.
Oh yeah, our new YouTube show, Challenge of the Sprites.
Yeah, to once again, nice transition. that's what the title of this episode is going to be. That was a nice transition.
Yeah, nice one.
Yes, so about a year ago, we had this kind of a concept about starting up our YouTube show. Instead of, you know, kind of expand beyond just the podcast, instead of a simple review or playthrough, it's going to be a show of challenges. Right now, I'm not sure if it's going to be every week or every other week. The first one will be launching this week, likely on Tuesday, which is a week from now, technically, or a couple days after this podcast airs this weekend. Every new episode is going to feature a new game and a new challenge to go along with it. One of the first games we have coming up is going to be Ninja Turtles on the NES, where the challenge is Raphael only, because I like to make my life more difficult than it needs to be.
I mean, we were going to originally call the podcast, I mean, not the podcast, but the Shattered Sprites thing. Mike fucks up really badly.
But we yes, figured
too wordy, too long.
This is part of a kind of a whole network we're going to be kind of launching for ourselves called Shattered Sprites. It's going to involve the website we're slowly... What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
It's a very...
It's so original.
It's a very poor network, but it's going to have, you know, our YouTube show, the challenges. It's going to include this podcast. It's all going to be linked through the ShatteredSprites.com website that right now, if you go there, you won't find much. We are kind of like learning as we go along, and we are going to be posting updates to both the show, the YouTube show, articles once in a while. But yeah, so right now the main focus of getting this up and running is going to be the YouTube show. We have, as I said, we have the Ninja Turtles, we have Double Dragon coming up, Contra, an old favorite game of mine, 3D Battles of Worldrunner, working on.
God,
I know that one's gonna be a fun one. It's one of the few games I'm actually gonna be probably halfway decent at. Kirby's gonna be coming up. Like I said, each one of these things with a new challenge to go along with it to make these hard games even harder. At least for the first couple episodes, it's going to be myself playing it with me and with Gerald kind of commentating as I play. It's going to be quite embarrassing.
It's a train wreck. I love it.
It really is. The first one we ever put up was actually just about a year ago, and that was for Batman on the NES. I was actually thinking since that was more of like a prototype episode, I'm actually thinking about re-recording, doing another playthrough of that with the same challenge.
Yeah, I mean, it was so long ago. I'm going to watch that again, actually.
Yeah, I mean, this is technically going to be episode two, and I'll even acknowledge it as episode two. But, yeah, episode one was kind of more of a prototype, just kind of see how it would work. And it is up there, and I'll put the link to the YouTube channel for the Shattered Sprites channel. But, yeah, so now a year later, we're finally ready to kind of launch this thing because we're lazy. We're lazy bastards. That's why we uploaded the first video a year ago, and there's been nothing since.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now, you know, I actually have an idea of how to semi-edit and put in intros. So there's definitely going to be a fairly constant stream of content going up there now.
Awesome.
I think Ninja Turtles is going to be coming up first, followed by Double Dragon and Contra soon after. At least for the first three episodes, then with World Runner.
So we have a lineup of a lot of good classic games.
Mm-hmm. Now, all these are on the NES, those first four games. And I did mention Kirby. Just so you know, we're not going to be sticking with the NES games solely. Those are, at least right now, the easiest that I can get footage from. So that's mostly the reason why we're sticking with those. But, we are going to be adding in NES, Genesis, Sega Master System.
And let's face it, they are a lot of fun.
They are. And as I've said before, to Gerald, when talking about like the core idea of this show is to not see me succeed. The idea is that I am not going to succeed. You do not want to see me succeed. You want to see how long it's going to take me to fail.
Wow. I know I enjoy it. I mean,
oh, yeah, the Batman alone that's up there right now is a lot of fun. If you ever hear Gerald end a show with Batman Suicide, it's coming from that initial episode.
Yeah, I reference that episode a lot.
I mean, that one was a lot of fun to record.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to strangle you because you were doing, like, everything fucking wrong I could think of.
Well,
like,
and the challenge we had for it was to see how far I could get in 1 hour. Now, technically, if you do line up the videos, they are less than 1 hour, but it was actual 1 hour of gameplay. Believe me, I had to sit through it.
Because you lost all your lives. I mean, you can't go any further.
Well, especially when I got towards the end, and I was just in a mad panic to get as far as I could, and I just kept screwing up because I just felt so rushed.
Batman, you know, on the NES is not an easy game to begin with, but
no, definitely not. But especially when, I'm trying to not necessarily intentionally make them harder, but make them more interesting and a little bit different than here's a playthrough, here's a review.
Well, you made the first level of Batman the most interesting I've ever seen. if that means anything to you,
it makes me feel so much better.
I mean, I've never seen what you've pulled on Batman Stage 1.
Oh, I know. Well, on a good side of the show, I mean, you're also going to be able to get to see myself on camera for the first time. After almost a year's worth of podcasts, I will be on camera. You'll get a face to put to the name.
I don't know if you want to do that, folks. Seriously, I don't know if you really want that kind of pain. But
I am a pretty boy to look at.
If you want to ruin it, tell me the address.
So yeah, in the show notes, I will have a by the time this podcast is posted, Ninja Turtles will be up. So you'll have Ninja Turtles to check out. Batman will be there as well, as I said. So I kind of see the origin of the show, the progenitor, as we like to call it, the progenitor virus.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Spencer.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move on.
Well, I don't know about you, but I got nothing left myself.
Well, that's about all I wanted to talk about this week. Hopefully things will be more explosive next week.
Yeah, I think so. Well, we should have a little bit more news by then.
All right, so remember, keep playing games. Regardless of what Mike says, most of them are really good.
One or two of them. good night.
Batman Suicide.